absolute wonderful thing when you know that your prayer got through. I already expect a difference going on to hospital right now. That's what I expect. And good to be here today. All of y'all that's prayed for me this week, I wound up the doctor Monday, and they said I had pneumonia. Been laying around a little bit this week, and I'll just tell you, I'm sick of it. I'm glad to be here today. You know, I don't know how long this service is going to last, but just what it is, you know. But I had the energy to walk up here, and I believe God will help me to work. Thank the Lord for that song. Jesus is awake and aware this morning, knows what's going on in our lives. You know, he knows every problem we got. And we talk about this morning. I want to talk about the battle that takes place each and every day. You know, it's pretty plain to understand that every day that we face, you know, it seems like something's come up and there's a battle going on. Everybody's battle's not the same. But, you know, we know that in Job chapter 14, verse 1, it said, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. And so, you know, that's really what we've got, and that's the Word of God. And so we need to be prepared when the battles come and the enemy arrives that we're willing to step up. I want to share with you a few verses of Scripture today, some of my favorite Scripture. It shows me what a young man can actually accomplish when he turns to God. And I want to turn, if you will, 1 Samuel chapter 17. I want to talk about David and Goliath. Leading up to this, in verse 16, you'll find that Israel was at war with the Philistines, and they had set up their battle in array, and here comes a champion from the Philistines out called Goliath. He was a man of great stature. He was a man of war, and he had challenged Israel every day. He'd come out and tell them, say, if you can come out and fight with me, if you can kill me, we'll be your servants. If I can kill you, you'll be our servants. So there's a lot riding on this, and none of them was willing to face the challenge until they came down to a young man called David. David's one of my favorite subjects to read about in Scripture, him and Peter, I guess. That's two of my favorites because of their ambition and their understanding of what they could do. So let's look at this in 1 Samuel chapter 17, and I'll start in verse 8, and we'll just kind of skip through this very quick. And we're going to talk about ammunition we need to get through this life. And there's a list of ammunition that we need to be supplied with. In verse 8, he said, and he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine and you servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you and let him come down to me. And so the challenge goes forth with this Philistine, Goliath, coming out, and he's challenging the army each and every day. And they're not sending anybody down to take this fight, I guess because of fear and the understanding. He was a giant of great size and had great armor and great all this. And all of a sudden, it changes from this to he's coming down and he's talking about this. And then we're going to find that Jesse, this is David's father, sent him down to check on his brothers who were down in the war. Jesse wasn't part of the war. Now, I want you to understand that he was a sheep keeper. He was down there. He was a shepherd boy, and he was at home working. But his daddy said, I want you to take these supplies down and check on your brothers. And so he goes down to the battle. And from that point on, I'm telling you, everything changes, not only in his life, but the life of the Philistines and all. So in verse 20, and David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to the fight, and shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran into the army and came to salute his brother. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistine and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. This is the first time he'd heard this. You know, he didn't know about this till he got down to the armies. All of a sudden, he hears this giant come up and makes the same statement, let somebody come down and fight with me. If you can beat me, we'll be your servants. If I can beat you, you'll be our servants. So there's a lot riding on this. And I've thought about the responsibility that David took on. You know, it's one thing to see a problem and see a need, and it's another one to feel it. Everybody can say amen. That's the way that goes. It's one thing to see a problem or a need, but it's another thing to feel it. Well, when he heard this, this didn't sit well with David. And I'm thankful David had an understanding about it's not going to be what he can do, but what God can do through him. That's the full mentality we need to have when we start a process or a project in church. We need to know that it's not about our ability or our power, but it's the power of God that can handle these things. I don't see anybody out here that's equipped full enough to handle all the projects that God could send. But with God's help, we can all do it. Down to verse 26, and David spoke to the men that stood by him, saying, "What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach of Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of God?" Now here's a whole army down there, and nobody stepped up but David. And he said, "Who is this Philistine that he should defy the armies of God?" He knew the power of God. He had understood it all of his life. And here he comes down, and he's going to face a giant. You know, it'd be a scary proposition, but I want everybody to understand that he knew that God was going to be with him in whatever came about. It was going to be God's plan and God's process. Down in verse 29, and David said, "What now have I done? Is there not a cause?" One of his brothers kind of scolded him. He said, "Hey, there's a cause." David was well enough informed to see the need and the cause, and he was willing to do something about it. In verse 32, and David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." And so Saul's not agreeing. He said, "I don't believe you can do this, but there's no other choice." So Saul's actually going to allow it to take place in a few minutes. But I got thinking about this all the way through that, you know, when he went down and Saul's going to decide that he's going to put something on him to help him through the battle. Now, armor in those days and times were molded and fit to each person. So Saul sought to give David his armor. But David is a young man. It said a ruddy young man, a good-looking young man. This is what's down there ready to do the battle. And I think about this description of him and how God's word gives a description, and there's no way that Saul's armor is going to fit him. And down in verse 38, and Saul armed David with his armor, and he put a helmet of brass upon his head. Also, he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, "I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them." And David put them off. And so the armor that Saul's trying to give him, he's got no use for it. He said, "I hadn't proved him. I'm not going to go with that. I'm going to go with God." It's not about the armor that you can put on. It's about the God you can put in. In verse 40, and he took his staff in his hand, and he chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. He's going out to face the giant. He needed some ammunition. So where does he go? He goes down the brook, picks up 5 smooth stones. I asked the question one time, so he's just going to use one. He's going to take the giant out with one stone. Why'd he pick the others up? They're going to be battles all of his life. This is not the only battle he's going to face. This is not the only giant in life. There's giants all through life for each and every one of us, each and as same as it was for David. You might think, "Well, I don't know if I ever fought a giant." Is cancer a giant? Huh? Sickness, the giant. There's many giants in this life that we're going to face all through this situation. You know, we were told in Job that that's the way it's going to be. So I'm going to advise everybody to get you a little bit of ammunition now. And we'll talk about ammunition in a minute. David got his out of the brook. He got 5 smooth stones. I'm not going to tell you to go down the creek and get you some rocks. I'm going to tell you to put on the whole armor of God. We'll get to that in just a few minutes, because that's where our protection comes and that's where our ammunition comes from. In verse 41, and the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man of war, man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, "Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. In verse 45, then said David to the Philistine, "Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of armies of Israel, whom thou hast defiled." This is the understanding we all need to know. David physically wasn't able to overcome this giant Goliath by himself, but he tells him very plain. He said, "You came with your armor, you came with your sword, you came with your shield." He said, "I come in the power of God." Now that's where we need to understand that our power and our time on this earth, that as long as it's powered by God, it's going to work. And he told him, he said, "It's not a sword, it's not this." He said, "But in the power of God, because you have defiled the enemies, or the Israelites. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee and take thy head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of thy host of the Philistines this day and the fowls of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all earth may know that there is a God in Israel." Now you talk about making a statement. He said, "I'm going to do this just to let you know there's a God in Israel. It's not about me. It's not about my power. It's about the God in Israel." Now you think about what all the armies of Israel had involved in this. You talk about a time and trust him. They're looking at him, a ruddy youth, young, good looking, going out against the giant. You'd already heard the deal that Goliath had made. He said, "If you defeat me, we'll be your servants." And that's talking about the whole army. And said, "If you beat me, we'll be your servants." So when I got to thinking about this, the armies of Israel, how much confidence they must have had, not in David, but in the God that they served. That's where the power is, the God that they served. And they get to looking, you know, he don't look physically able, but they know God's with him, and so they trust him. They're trusting their situation totally to David at this time, because if he loses, they got to be the servants of the Philistines. I don't know if you ever thought about that or not, but putting your trust in one person, that's where he's at. In verse 47, "And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with a sword and a spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." So he's just proclaiming God. He said, "It's not about a sword or a spear." He said, "It's about God, and the battle's his, and he's going to give you into my hand." When David wound up with a sling, guess who guided the stone? God guided it. Guess who powered it? God powered it. That's what it's about, because it was a thing about this. And so here he is with his ammunition. He's up fighting the enemy. I don't want to discourage anybody here, but I guarantee you, you'll fight an enemy. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but in your lifetime, there'll be enemies to fight. He might not be a 7-foot-tall Philistine, a giant named Goliath, but he'll be something. He'll be there, and we need to be prepared. And it said, 49, "And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slung it, and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth." So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him, but there was no sword in the hand of David. Now this is an example about what God can do with what God has. You know, he didn't have to look for a different thing. You're going to continue to find that his ammunition was stones from the brook. He won the battle. I want to preach to you this morning, with God's help, you can win the battle. Whatever it is, whatever your fight, whatever your struggle is, with God's help, you can win the battle. It might not seem like you're prepared. It may not seem like you've got the right ammunition. But if God gave you that ammunition, it'll be sufficient every time. Let's look over what we've got today. Turn over New Testament with me, if you will, to the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. Now he went with his stones, he went with his sling, and he defeated a giant. Let me give you this recipe for giant killing. Y'all ever had a recipe for giant killing? There's one in here. You know, I don't cook, so recipes don't mean much, but a recipe is how you get it done, how you make something. And this is a recipe for giant killing in your life. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Therefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand this evil day. And having done all to stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with the truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance unto supplication for all saints. Recipe for giant killing. You run upon a problem, you run upon trouble in life, looks like a giant, looks very scary, turn back right here. This is a recipe for giant killing. And I guarantee you, everybody here will face one before you're over and done with. That's the life we have, because it's forecast in the book of Job. Full of trouble. That's us. That's where we're at. I thank God we got a better promise, though. I'll tell you about a place that we don't have any enemies. It'll be heaven. We've got that promise. But I want us to consider this and think about it as we go through life, the troubles that face us. You know, I hear a lot about them. I hear it quite often about this problem and that problem. But with the help of God, we can get through every one of them. Amen. I think we'll close this service. Going to have a baptizing tonight. Amen. Got a baptizing going on tonight. And Patricia, stand up back there. This is Julie Gray's sister. She lives up in Cleveland. And she's not going to join this church because she lives in Cleveland, but she's going to find her a church in Cleveland. But I talked to her 2 weeks ago, and she got saved and wanted to know, could I help her submit to baptism to fulfill all righteousness? And I thought, amen, I could sure do that, you know. And so looking forward to that tonight, and that'll be after the service tonight. It won't take long. She's got some people coming down to help support her, and thank God we're here to support her. I'm proud of her. Getting her life in order. Amen. That's what it's about, isn't it? And anything that this church can do to help her, I'm all about that. And if it's a baptism, we're all in on it. All right? See you tonight. All right?